Hi, Jason.
Hi.
And I want to say hello to everyone that's listening. This is Amber Wolf, and I am here today interviewing an amazing practitioner that Spirit has brought into my life. And his name is Professor Jason Thompson. And with all things that I think are so wonderful, I like to share them with the people in my life that I feel can use this information and take advantage of it for their own healing. So, welcome, Jason.
Thank you so much, Amber.
So let's start with you telling us a little bit about you and just a kind of a quick biography, if you would.
Okay, well, I started out 30 years ago studying with Louise Hay in Santa Monica. And the last 30 years, my life has been dedicated to healing practices, and it's evolved over time. I studied psychotherapy and became a psychotherapist in San Diego, and then I moved to South America where I live now, and the technique that I'm practicing now mainly is called total biology and also psychogenealogy, which is part of total biology.
So I wondered how you morphed your practice and why you would go from psychotherapy into what you do now.
Well, I started to notice that as far as we could, there were some limits to how far we could go with psychotherapy, that people had pain, that people had issues, people had illness, and things that we couldn't solve with psychotherapy. And I began looking for other possibilities. And I started going to some lectures with my teacher, Enrique Barone, and it just all clicked for me. So it's, after 30 years of doing this kind of work, it's like everything starts to fit together. In 2006, I studied family constellation therapy. And in many ways, it's similar to total biology. There's some aspects that really fit together. We did a lot of psychogenealogy work in total biology and look at the ancestors. So that part fits together. So psychogenealogy has given me tools to access some of the limitations, some of the conflicts and problems that we didn't have conscious access to with other techniques.
So I know that people are usually aware of their family tree, their ethnicity, their heritage, and those kinds of things, but it never occurred to me that there was some kind of pattern that would be maybe unfinished and carried through generations. And is that what we're looking at here?
Yes, exactly. Because all people have conflicts. It's just a normal part of life to have conflicts. And one of the things that conflicts do is conflicts generate stress. And so the stress level starts to go up and up and up and up to the point where the brain knows that the person can't survive. The physical body can only handle a certain amount of stress. And so what the brain does is it sends it to some part of the body in order to bring the stress level back to normal. And so in that process of sending the stress to some part of the body, a future illness is programmed in the person, a future pain or a future illness. And so that's the part that we look at with total biology to understand the conflicts that people had that generated illness. So our ancestors also had conflicts. And some of those conflicts they resolved, some of the conflicts they did not resolve. And if they have already passed on, then there's no way now that they can resolve those conflicts. And so what happens is the soul of the family wants to have the conflicts resolved. And so what it does is it passes the conflicts on to someone who's alive today so that there's another chance to solve that conflict.
So,
And if that
I'm sorry.
person doesn't solve it, then it gets passed on to someone else. And so it may go down for two or three or four generations until someone is able to solve it.
And what you said, the soul of the family, what is that?
Well, this is a concept that I really became aware of when I was doing the family constellation therapy. And the way that I think of the soul of the family is like the memory in the family of all the people who have lived in that family. So the soul of the family includes the memory about our great-great-grandparents, our great-grandparents, their trials and tribulations, their successes, and all the wonderful things that happen in their lives. All that is part of the soul of the family. It's like a cellular memory of the family.
So would you say it's like its own being?
That's a great question. You know, it's I don't think of it as being like a live being. It's more like an energy field.
Okay.
I mean, what we do in the family constellation training is that we learn how to become aware of the energy field that's around us and that's around the client, and all the information that we need to decode a person is in their energy field. And, you know, so when I look at someone's energy field, you know, sometimes I see right off the bat that the problem is with their grandfather or the problem is with their great-grandmother, because I can see that information in their energy field.
Wow. And now we did our session on Skype, so not in person. Can you see that on a Skype session as well?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Because you live in Uruguay and you're like me, your clients and patients are around the world, so you use Skype quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, that's why it's important to be able to see the person.
Mm-hmm.
Because some people ask me sometimes, you know, can we do this on the telephone? And, you know, there's some things we can do on the telephone, but to do a full session, I need to be able to see the person, because I can see how the color of their skin shifts, you know, the expression. Mm-hmm. I can see the energy over their right shoulder, the energy over their left shoulder, and how that moves as we talk.
So can we talk a little bit about your coming to Boulder, Colorado?
Yes, I'm really excited about my trip. It's coming up very soon.
Yeah, it is. And the reason that I'm hosting you here is because I had such a profound shift from our sessions together, our Skype sessions together. And it seems funny, I haven't ever met you in person, but we've done this amazingly deep and healing work. And people that know me know that I have done a lot of work. My life has been dedicated to my own healing and then teaching healing and showing other people the things that have so deeply affected me. And that's why I have invited you here. So can you give us a little bit of information about what a two-day workshop is going to be and the difference in that, perhaps, in Module 1, Module 2, and a personal session?
Great. Sure. The work that we do is opening your family tree with a specific intention. So, you know, a lot of people are familiar with genealogical research, which means to gather information about your ancestors and their birth dates and passing dates and information that you can get together about that. And, you know, I have been attracted to that since I was a child. When I was 8 years old, I did my first family tree. It was like something called to me. And I think that, you know, people who have issues to heal with respect to their ancestors feel that inner yearning. It's like the inner calling inside us, the people who are coming to the class, you know, maybe they're living some of the conflicts of some of their ancestors. And so that desire comes. And a lot of the healing comes by looking at the ancestors, just by what we call opening up the family tree. So many times when people begin to do this work, and I've seen it a lot with my clients and with my students, that they'll their cousin calls them a couple of weeks later and says, you know, I'm doing all this family research, you know, would you like this information that I'm finding? Or they find somebody on the internet who has the information that they're missing. It's like when somebody starts looking at the information, the energy in the whole family tree starts to shift. It starts to move. And when one person heals, it heals the whole family. So it heals the whole tree. So the healing goes back several generations and goes forward several generations. So there are benefits for lots of different people. So what we're going to do is in the class is to begin that process of opening your family tree, learning how to do that, the types of information that we're going to look at, what they're going to need to research, the meaning of that information, how to understand it, how to interpret it, and what to do with how to handle the process. Because like you experience, it's a huge process that your whole life.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Shifting at that time for the next, I don't know how many days, but you know, it was very powerful.
So once the family tree is open, what are we looking for? What are some of the things that might come up?
Well, for example, I've had a few clients who had problems with being overweight. And so what we do is look for someone in family tree who had some issues about food. So it could be someone who didn't have enough food. You know, someone whose husband passed away and left them with children that they didn't have enough food to feed. Or it could be a baby who was breastfeeding and passed and was not able to complete their experience and grow up. So it's like people, we're looking for experiences that people are completing that someone else didn't complete. One of the big patterns that we look for is incomplete grieving processes. That's one of the things that generates so many blocks in people's lives. If they have an ancestor who, for whatever reason, were not able to complete a grieving process.
Well, that's kind of usual in our life, isn't it? That we aren't really given the latitude to have a grieving process. We're supposed to be stoic or just get on with life or those kinds of things. So I know that, you know, in my own grieving process, I've allowed myself a lot of latitude, and it really, I think, has moved it along in a very beautiful way. But when it seems like when we don't express it, it doesn't get better. It gets worse. So does our family tree hold also a lot of unexpressed emotions, would you say?
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. Definitely.
And so something that I wanted to ask you about, you talked about a little earlier about discovering the conflicts that program future illnesses. So in my way of thinking and working in my healing is that stress is what leads to illness 99% of the time because our bodies collapse from it. And it's really a way that our bodies take a time out. But if we're feeding ourselves so much stress that we're programming a future illness, how do we sort of dissolve that or short circuit's not the right word, but how do we, once we have the awareness that that's what we're doing, it's not too late to fix it so we don't get that illness.
Right. That's a great question. So the future illnesses are programmed in the subconscious mind. And a lot of this work, including the work about the family tree, we work with the subconscious mind and the unconscious mind, because the conflicts, you know, sometimes people will give a name of their great grandparent to a son or daughter, and they didn't even know the name. You know, and we start doing the research, and they discover the name. It's like, where did that come from? It came from the unconscious. And so these future illnesses are programmed in the subconscious mind. That's why people don't have conscious access to them. And so when people have conflicts and have stress, if they cry and scream and express their anger and do therapy and meditate and do all the things that they need to do to process that stress, they don't need to program a future illness. One of the characteristics of future illness is that it was isolating. So somehow the person is, the illness, the stress of the conflict, the person experiences it in isolation. So instead of telling their husband about what's going on and how upset they are about losing their job, they keep it inside. And it goes into the subconscious, and that's why it becomes a future illness. And so what we can do with this new awareness is just increase our understanding of how important it is for us to process our stress and let go of it and not swallow it.
Very good. Yeah, I agree. And what if we do get an illness? Is there a way to sort of unravel it backwards?
Yes. I mean, the first question, that's what we do with the biological decoding, is to understand the programs that created the illness. And the first question that we ask that all the people who are listening to this can do, I mean, some of the decoding is very simple. The first question is, when did the symptoms begin? And so that's what we call the triggering conflict. So the person can think about what was going on 3 years ago. And, you know, let's say the symptoms began 3 years ago. Think about what was going on in their life 3 years ago, what kind of conflict, and discover what the programming factors were.
So if they have a symptom of, say, a stomach ulcer, and it started 3 years ago, would you look in your family tree, or would you just talk to that time 3 years ago?
Yeah, first we start by looking at what was going on in the person's life at the time.
Okay.
And then we go back and look at what was going on earlier in their life.
Okay.
And then usually we don't talk about the psychogenealogy in the first session. You know, we look at the person's life in the first session. And then in the second session, we start looking at the ancestors. So sometimes we find everything that the person needs from their own life, and, you know, and they heal. And sometimes we need to also look at the ancestors. So it just depends on the person.
And what if you don't know your parents, or if you were, you know, you were adopted, or you have a step parent, or, you know, there's some other hidden agendas in the family trees where we don't know a parent, or raised by a sister or something like that. How can you look into a family tree that could have some nebulous parts?
Well, I mean, first of all, I want to say that we work with the information that we have and the information that we're able to find. And that's never a block to the healing. So the healing is possible, you know, no matter how much or how little information the person has. So it's really important to have that consciousness. The second thing is that when people start doing this work, it's just amazing how the information appears. So, you know, the universe is conspiring in this process to make everything work out.
It wants to be of assistance.
Right, exactly. So if the person is adopted and they don't know about their biological parents, then we put a space for them on the family tree. So there would be like an extra branch on the tree. You know, we would have the biological family, and then we have the adoptive family. And so the person has twice as many relatives as, you know, a regular person would have. And sometimes they have information about that, and sometimes they don't. But, you know, we can see by the person's desires and profession and all those kind of things are giving us information. If someone is very attracted, for example, to Native American traditions and burns sage and does sweat lodge ceremonies, and, you know, there's a good chance that, you know, maybe they have Native American blood and they didn't even know about it. That was one of the things that was very hidden years ago, that many people were embarrassed, you know, 150 years ago, embarrassed about having Native American blood, and so they hid that information. And we can see by the characteristics of the person that, you know, that maybe that blood is there, and the information can come out.
Wow. I can't imagine finding out some of these things. What is it, your experience in the workshops as well as with patients, when they start to find out some of these things? It would seem like, in my experience, it was a great weight was sort of lifted when things were revealed.
Yes. People feel so much lighter after the session. You know, I can see how much lighter their energy is, how much more expanded it is, and then they go through their process. The process continues in their dreams after that, because the subconscious, because these illnesses and conflicts are often programmed in the subconscious mind, and the way the subconscious mind communicates with us is through our dreams.
Uh-huh. Okay, so, yeah, I remember in my own experience, I was writing down my dreams as you instructed, and they were just, it didn't make any sense to me whatsoever, and yet they kept continuing in that way. It just felt like they had to come out of me somehow in order to make peace, if that makes sense.
Sure, exactly. Yeah. It's a beautiful process.
So in this first module of psychogenealogy, healing your family tree, we focus more on the person than the module two, than we do in module two.
Well, in module one, we start looking at there's a diagram for the family tree, the type of information that we're looking for, and the types of relationships that we're looking for. For example, we look at birthdays and conception days, passing days, and what it means. For example, you know, if your grandfather passed on your birthday, then there's specific meaning and effect that it has on your life. Or if you were born on the passing day of one of your ancestors, you know, so we learn about all those different techniques and how we can interpret that information.
Mm. So if someone is coming to the class, it's good to have that with them to know that?
Well, not necessarily, because in Psychogenealogy 1, we're getting the information, preparing people. We look at the specific information in Module 2.
I see.
So, because there's too much to look at in module one. What we need to do is to get prepared, because what happens is your subconscious mind, whenever I'm talking, like all the people who are listening now, your subconscious mind is listening. You know, your conscious mind, your brain is listening, and your subconscious mind is also listening. And so, you know, I may have already touched on some information that's programmed in your subconscious mind, and so that starts to move around energetically, and the person already can have some kind of energetic reaction, and it's a lot to assimilate and integrate. It takes some time, as you experience from your own session.
Certainly, yeah, and there are still things that come up for me, but not so intensely. They come up more like, here's something to consider.
Right. So for example, one of the things that we do is I talk about the basic principles of psychogenealogy. And one of the principles is that it's not your fault. You know, that whatever is going on in your life is not your fault. So many people suffer from guilt. You know, you mentioned stress as being one of the main causes of illness, you know, and maybe the second cause is guilt. People carry around so much guilt. And, you know, whatever is happening in your life, the people who are listening to this interview, whatever's happening in your life is not your fault. And total biology and psychogenealogy says that we do not have free will. The idea of free will in our culture and in religion is really kind of an illusion, because until we do this work and decode and understand what programs are that we're living, you know, we don't have a choice. You know, even about profession. You know, I have a client who's a horse breeder, and he loves horse breeding, and he's loved it since he was a kid. And he started doing this research and found out that his great-grandfather in another country was a horse breeder.
Wow.
And he had no idea, and that he didn't have that conscious information. So these are the kind – and so now he has a choice.
Right.
Now he can choose. You know, does he want to be a horse breeder, or is he doing it for his great-grandfather? You know, does he want to be a horse breeder, or does he want to go to medical school and be a doctor?
Yeah.
So one of the things that's so liberating about this work is that once we discover whose programs we were living, then we become free to choose and create our own destiny.
That's so empowering.
Yes.
Yeah, on every level. Wow. Well, Jason, thank you so much for spending this time with me. I'm really looking forward to your time here in Boulder. And I think we're going to have an amazing, liberating event for those people that are coming to be with us. And if there is anyone listening that would like more information about this event, you can call Francie, my assistant, at 303-588-7716. Or you can email her at dramberwolf.assistant@gmail.com. And we have a beautiful place in the Boulderado Hotel in downtown Boulder that will be hosting us, hosting Jason and Total Biology. So thank you again, Jason, and look forward to seeing you next month.
Thank you so much, Amber. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.